Heads, and welcome to The League, exploring the League of Legends lore from A to Z. My name is Rebecca.
And I'm John.
And I'm Mark.
And today we're talking about The Boy Who Shattered Time, Echo, who was released May 29th, 2015.
Damn.
Why did I think this was way sooner?
Yeah, 2015 seems like so long ago.
Yeah. I thought he came out in like 2019, 2018, maybe. No. He still feels like a very new champion to me. Maybe because I can't figure out how to play against Echo.
You assume if he had come out that long ago, you would have learned it by now. So just he must have come out last week. I know nothing about him.
No, I'm just bad. On the Riot Universe page, Echo has a bio, two cinematics, Seconds and The Climb. He also has a short story and a comic book. Apparently, if you click on it on the universe page, it is a broken link. It leads you to nothing.
God, it's fucking Riot, man. It's like a 404.
Yeah, it was literally a 404. I started laughing.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, okay. Neato. But I guess he's in a lot of other cinematics that just also aren't linked that John's going to talk about.
Yeah, he's in, let's see, what do we got here? He's in seven cinematics.
Is he featured in them?
I would say he's a featured person in six of them.
Oh, okay.
One of them is just, just kind of like an animated thing that he's a part of.
But sure.
And I'm counting Giants in this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's hella featured in that. Yeah.
But, six featured in the cinematics compared to the two that are listed.
God, are those mostly like skin, like cinematic type things? Mm.
So we've got, I mean, Giants is kind of a skin cinematic, but there is actually a skin cinematic for that skin line. and the Academy one is also, it's not an in-game type of skin cinematic. It's like an animated video, but it's for the skin line.
Huh.
But there are three non-skin featured cinematics.
Wild. I was wondering if they were thinking maybe they didn't want to link anything to like the alternate universes their lore page.
But like, where do they get linked? I know they've got a section for like comics and things like that, and they do have a section for alternate universes, I think, on there, but like their alternate universe page is very different than the wiki's alternate universe page.
Yeah, they're definitely not good at connecting a lot of these things in a way. I don't know, like I think KDA is something that really blew up, and even people outside of my league circle were talking about it, and like especially pop stars, people really loved it, but they don't really easily connect these things on their website. I don't know.
Yeah, and you know, to give them credit, like Universe is a huge step up from where it used to be, which was just like nothing.
The paragraph in the League client.
But it kind of seems like a lot of things at Riot where someone was assigned to own it. As soon as that person moves on to something else, there's not a whole lot of ownership anymore. So just like whenever someone remembers to update it, they do. And this gets updated way more frequently than like, just to throw an example of something that lacked ownership for a while, the new player page.
Oh, God.
Oh.
But, some work to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I ended up being pleasantly surprised by Echo. I think mostly because I assumed he was an orphan because he's just like a kid hero. And I'm like, oh, clearly his parents are dead. But there were more layers to it than that I enjoyed.
Yeah. Fucking loved Echo. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
He's so cool.
How'd you feel, Mark? Initial thoughts before we jump into the bio.
I think pleasantly surprised is also how I felt because
nice.
Not the orphan thing, although that was also a nice detail. He's gonna, for all intents, well, no, he's not for all intents and purposes. But because I think more to what you said, John, my initial thoughts on Echo were just to do with his design and what the little bit that I knew about him. And he reads as like, oh, he's a cool late teens, plucky genius punk, just the type of character for like League's fan base to love and identify with. And I was not very interested. So if we want to look at like the roller coaster analogy, we started on the very crest. And then things just went downhill in a good way for Echo across this lore.
Yeah. I kind of like where he's at. But I only have notes for the bio, so I guess I'll
take it away.
I'll do that.
Sure.
Echo is from Zaun, for anyone who's as much of a noob as I am. He's from Zaun. He's a really smart kid, something that his parents recognized in him really quickly. So they've been just working their asses off, just trying to get any little bit of food and money they can, trying to push Echo into a higher life in Piltover, essentially. They want him to have all of the opportunities in the world. But Echo doesn't really feel the same way. He sees a lot of potential in Zaun, and he ends up befriending what they call the lost children of Zaun. They're a lot of, like, orphans and runaways. They become all of his besties out in the streets there. And one night he finds a piece of hex tech, and after experimenting, he accidentally opens a hole in the fabric of reality, and he pairs up with a bunch of other echoes, and they have to close it together. That's something that I'd love to see.
Right.
We don't get a... I don't need a story, but a little cinematic would have been really funny for that. Later, Echo, on his name day... Echo is climbing Old Hungry. It's a clock tower. Is it in Piltover?
It's in Zaun.
It's in Zaun?
It's the heart of Zaun, actually.
Oh, I think we probably talked about this.
It's mentioned actually in one of the stories, but it's not one of the it's not one of the ones that were linked on specifically any of the people we've talked about yet. It's linked if you try to learn more about Zaun. There's a short story about Zaun where it's talked about.
It showed up in the Progress Day story, too. They mentioned Old Hungry, I think.
I mean, you can't mention everything they did.
I think they had a different old in that one, actually, because they were talking about...
There was a lot of names in that one.
this was... It's kind of a rite of passage for Zaunite youths to make it to the top, climb to the top of Old Hungry, like, without dying.
Okay. I really like that little tidbit. So Echo's climbing it with some of his friends, and the story says that on the way they're painting, and I quote here, obscene caricatures of Pilties. I guess they call people from Piltover Pilties.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to see what those pictures are and who they're drawing it of. Who do you think is one of the victims?
I know they've got a... They're pretty sore about Vi still.
And
Caitlin, they've got a bone to pick with.
I had assumed Caitlin would maybe be up there. I mean, she's the sheriff of Piltover, and they don't like Piltover, so...
and Vi's that backstabber Zaunite who lost her way,
sold out
to the Pilties.
So while they're climbing, one of Echo's friends falls, and he discovers that his device can turn back time a little bit, and he ends up saving his friend. He kind of tells all his friends about this device. They don't really take it very seriously, though, although hopefully they don't tell anyone. He now seems to be a bit of a person of interest, probably in Zaun and Piltover, people who are kind of getting word about what he can maybe do, but he really only cares about his friends and family, and he has big dreams about his hometown rising above Piltover. I like that idea, the idea that he wants Zaun to rise above it.
Mm-hmm. And he has a lot of great quotes about that, too.
The whole ending paragraph in his bio is really phenomenal. I really like it. Yeah, he talks about... rising above people who were only successful after being born into generations of wealth, stuff like that, which dope. Yeah, that's Echo, his bio.
Yeah.
I liked, so the fact that it opens, just one of the quotes that it opens with is the fact that Echo has genius level intellect, which struck me as such like an anime style quote. We have to assess his power level. He's got genius level intellect.
Oh, God. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. I mean, that's why, like, this bio kind of lined up with that initial impression I had of Echo. And so this was a nice kind of entryway into it. I'm like, oh, he's Jimmy Neutron boy genius, but cooler.
But a punk, yeah.
For the modern age, right?
There were, yes, I was, as I said, surprised that he's not an orphan, something that becomes really, really powerful in his short story. And I'm glad the short story wasn't about him becoming an orphan, because I did have that fear in my head, but it's not. I also like how I think the conflict between Echo and his parents, them wanting him to just go to Piltover, enroll in a school there, blend in with them, and you'll have great opportunities. But Echo being like, no, I'll do that here. You can see both sides of it so clearly, and I definitely feel for both of them a lot. Neither of them are wrong, and that's always really hard.
Definitely. It does feel like you know, Echo has that kind of youthful optimism of like, I'm going to elevate Zahn. I'm going to make Zahn Piltover. And his parents are just like, okay, well, you're very talented. You're much too good for this place. Just join there and have a chance, please.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a very human conflict, I guess.
It is. This is another one that I don't want to call it a small conflict because it is, I mean, it is really personal and it feels massive, but it's not massive in the sense of, you know, Noxus and taking over, you know, what we got with Darius and whatnot, and Diana trying to, I don't know, she inhabiting a goddess. So, yes, Echo's conflict is very personal, I would say. And it makes it, I don't know, just a very different experience.
It's a much more relatable character than, than the Dariuses and Dianas 100%. Of the world. And I know it's not specified in the actual story, but I feel like the place he got the original Hextech crystal for this was probably Victor's lab, because it does specifically mention that it was a recently destroyed laboratory, which happened kind of right after the whole Jace and Victor altercation. I know in the old lore they much more specifically called out Jace and Victor's connection to Echo, but they kind of got rid of that in the new lore.
Yeah, I saw that when I went and checked that out too, because I did wonder if that would be the case. And the fact that it's a, you know, it's a shard, and like you said, it's a destroyed lab. I guess we'll see when we get to those two or Jace, but it's probably it, right?
It is interesting how they play with, I don't know, the Hextech crystals and shards. They're very mysterious in what they do, because Echo literally just has a piece of one and he can turn back time. Excuse me. It's not even a whole one.
He's just that good, man.
That's true. In different hands, it would probably do absolutely nothing. I wouldn't be able to do shit with it. It would be a nice decoration on my bookshelf.
And we'll actually get to it in a bit, but that's one of the things I actually really liked about the True Genius cinematic. I like that aspect of it a lot. It was seeing what various people with various motivations can do with the same piece of technology.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah, so Lullaby is the short story. Does anyone have a summary of that?
I won't summarize it. I'll just jump in and say I legit teared up reading this.
I also
did. This is such a fucking good story.
Did. Same and geez. I think that, you did too. I think there are some parts that John and I definitely relate to that we can get to, but who wants to give a... Mark, do you have a summary? I could maybe do it off the top of my head, but...
I do have a summary.
Okay.
Nice, and then you guys can dive in with the more personal stuff. So, so story's called Lullaby by Matthew Dunn.
Not credited on the university.
Not credited. can we arrange like a fruit basket for the wiki? Because
right.
In addition to this, it's also the only place that I found to read Chrono Break, except for the Wayback Machine. So just knocking it out of the park.
Thumbs up, wiki editors.
Thanks for holding on. It's not even, I couldn't find it on the comics page even, by the way. That's what really made me upset.
Yeah. Yeah, what the hell?
There's like half the comics that I can't find on the comics page.
Yeah, we ran into that with, I don't remember the other one that we had that problem with, but...
It was another good one. I can't remember.
I think it was Camille. That's what it was.
Yeah.
God damn it. Anyway. So, Lullaby. The first kind of half of this is going over Echo's day, and the opening line is great, where it's like, it was a week-long sort of day. Nice and literal for him.
Big mood.
Yeah.
It talks about how he had started the day off with his friend Ajuna falling off of Old Hungry and Echo having to try 18 times before finally saving him. Later on, he got into a fight down in the sump with some Vigil Knots, which, funny enough, is the same thing that he's apparently fighting in that Seconds cinematic.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, I guess it does. I only found a reference to it in regards to these two things, but... and it talks about him taking, you know, over 24 rewinds, doing the same fight before finally kind of trying out his new invention that he called the Flash Binder. It's essentially his cue. You know, he throws it out and it explodes and it rebuilds and comes back to him. So he has a little fun with that. He rewinds a couple times to test it for scientific purposes, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he gets home, and while he's waiting for his parents to get back, because this is one of the few days that they are going to come home early, as opposed to like working through the night, I assume, he is sitting alone, and yeah. He's practicing how he's going to tell them that he's not going to apply for a clan apprenticeship in Piltover, and he's going to instead stay in Zaun and, you know, do like you guys described, kind of help Zaun rise up. But they get home, and Echo, you know, he talks about seeing how exhausted they are, how much they've aged, you know, from the work that they do and how much it has affected them physically. And before he can bring himself to kind of spill that news to them, they get him a gift, because this is Echo's birthday, or his name day is exactly what they use.
Yeah.
And it is the gift is a small, meager sweet bread, ones that Echo and his friends steal from Piltovers, or Pilties, I guess you would say. But a very pricey indulgence for this family. And Echo, you know, can't bring himself to shatter their hopes in this moment where they're just enjoying being with him. And as soon as they get home, they fall asleep just from sheer exhaustion. And so Echo, you know, after taking a bite of his sweetbread, rewinds back to them coming back home, and rewinds again and again and again until he himself can't stay awake, and then finally falls asleep. And that's the story in summary, anyway.
Yeah, it's devastating.
Yeah.
Genuinely a devastating story. But told in a way that it wasn't trying to, like, ham-fist it, I feel like. Like, you know how sometimes you're watching Forrest Gump and you're like, wow, you know, you're really trying to tug on my heartstrings right now, huh? But this one, it does it in a way that's really real. And I think, yeah, I definitely felt a connection to this. The idea that you want to save your parents who are overworked and kind of breaking themselves to take care of you, it sucks to see. And yes, so not to get too personal, but that I think that is a connection that John and I have shared before and can relate to. And I almost feel like whoever came up with this or someone involved in this story has also lived through that.
Yeah.
Because it felt really real. Yeah. But it was very good, if you want to tear up a bit.
It was very good.
I recommend reading it. It really gives you some insight on Echo and almost made me want to... I understand his, I want Zaun to rise up, but I almost wanted to be like, just go to the school, man. Just
for your parents, just please.
Please just go to that school and build over. Don't listen to me, because it's your fucking life and not mine. Also, this is a fictional character, and that's how passionate I am about this. I will never cuss out Echo again when playing against him. That's a lie. I'm definitely going to. I still can't figure out that motherfucker, but...
Well, he's trying to figure himself out, too.
I also really liked one of the lines from this, just when he was kind of practicing what he was going to say to his parents, to when he was letting them know that he wasn't going to go to Piltover. There's a line that says, "The words were filled with the confidence that comes with being alone in an empty apartment, with only walls and reflections to respond."
Yeah.
This is also a very relatable line.
Yeah.
One thing that got me is when they... So towards the end, when you realize Echo's going to go back in time and relive his parents coming home, I thought, like, oh, maybe he'll, like, act more excited about his gift. Because he kind of fought back against it. They gave him the sweet roll, and he's like, no, I don't want this. You should eat it. And they refuse, obviously. So I thought, like, oh, maybe he's going to go back in time and be like, oh, thank you, and, like, act all cool. But he did not change a thing. They, like, specify that he relives the moment exactly as it was, which... Some great acting skills, Echo. I don't know how he did the same way every time.
Much better actors than his parents, apparently. Because it does specify when they give him the loaf, too. He's like, oh, you should have some, too. And his dad's like, oh, no, I'm full. And his mom's like, oh, no, I ate at work. And
it's like, clearly they're lying. But...
Yeah, he immediately knows they're lying.
Yeah.
Could just be that he knows Piltover and how they treat, like, those all-night workers.
Yeah, I mean, one would assume. But for sure, I mean, it's very sweet, and I think it's, you know, he has the same moment. They come home, and he he just says like, hi mom, hi dad. And he's immediately like regrets that he didn't say something more significant. But at the same time, he doesn't go back and change it. And I assume that's a part of it. So it's, I feel like they really, when we talked about Diana, there was a phrase that we used called playing in the space. And I feel like they've done that in a very interesting way and kind of starting to peel back a bit of the burden that the time travel is on Echo. Because they talk about him saving his friend. And it's not just like, it's not like how the bio kind of is like, oh, they're being reckless and I gotta go save those wackadoos. It's like, no, he had to listen to his friend's blood-curdling scream 18 times. Right,
that got visceral.
And he's exhausted coming home, and is just from a day, right, of doing this time travel. And it starts to kind of play around with Echo as that sort of. I thought of him as almost like a perfectionist, like how someone with this ability might start behaving of like, I'm gonna go back and fix this stuff as good as possible, to their detriment, you know.
Yeah. And what he doesn't seem to be realizing is he talks a lot about how his parents are aging more rapidly than they should because of how hard they work, and he's not noticing that he's doing the exact same thing to himself.
Yeah,
and he's hiding it from them. Yeah,
I love that. Yeah. It's a great way of taking that metaphorical, oh, you're growing up too quickly, and bringing it into the actual, right?
Yeah, because he doesn't. I mean, like, oh God, would he age differently because of this? So, is this something that's ever touched on?
They only really touch on the exhaustion aspect.
Yeah.
Yes, and he seems to retain injuries and stuff, as you see in the second cinematic. So is, like, his body still the same age? Which seems silly. It's like he goes back a minute, but, you know, if you do that a lot.
I mean, 60 times, it's an hour. I mean, in poking around the wiki, I know there were some rioter responses on the old boards, and I know one of those said, oh, no, he doesn't, like, physiologically, except for maybe the injuries persisting, he's not aging at an advanced rate. But who knows if that's still canon, right? I don't really like going out for word of God type answers like that.
I mean, I don't think it would affect him supremely, like physically. You wouldn't really see him aging that much, because how long would it take him to age? Like 2 years? A long time. And 2 years, not that noticeable on someone once they're an adult. So, you know, I don't think it makes a huge difference, but...
Another thing I'm kind of interested in, and maybe, I mean, he probably just couldn't go back this far anyway, but something that he probably had to deal with that he probably regrets a whole lot too is just like letting his friends know in the first place that it was something he could do, because it's also specified after that, that after that, they became increasingly reckless just knowing that he would have their back, and kind of looking at the wall of friends of his that have kind of passed away, like, I am curious how many of those were a result of just assuming it's cool, Echo's got my back, and him not being able to get there in time.
That's a story that's a little too depressing to even go into.
I was thinking that the whole way through the comic, like, oh, I wonder if he was taking a risk because he knew Echo would be there. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well,
does that mean you want to jump into the comic?
Sure.
Real quick, before we do, one other thing I did like is small detail. When he is unwrapping his gift, he is very deliberate about saving the string and the packaging. Like, it's just like every little bit you just hold on to and, you know, don't waste anything. It's just a nice detail, right?
Yeah, it's true. Especially because someone like him, a bit of a reckless punk, he's getting a gift. You'd think he'd tear into it. But he's very gentle with his parents and their house and everything.
Yeah. But yeah, we can step over to the comic.
I did actually, real quick, in the old lore, they did specify that when he turned back time, he used to also do it to perfect his pickup lines, to make the best first impression every time.
I mean, that feels realistic to me. I'm curious why they took that out. All right, so who wants to do the comic?
So this is called Chrono Break. The only credit I could find for this was on the wiki, Matthew Dunn, the same one for the short story. So I don't know if it was just he wrote it. I can't speak to like artists or anything. I didn't find anything on the comic pages either. This opens with like kind of a mid-action piece where we see Echo running, and there's an important little piece of text that reads "Rewind number 78," and it's quickly unveiled that Echo is is actively rewinding because he is trying to find the quickest route to his friend Ajuna, that same one from Lullaby, who has been mortally injured, I guess we will say, and is dying in the streets of Zaun. So Echo is rewinding every time, trying to find the quickest route, trying to shave it down to get there in time and fix it. And he's rewinding and rewinding and rewinding, and finally he manages to reach Ajuna, not in time to save him, but at least to get information on what happened and who did it. And Ajuna doesn't know the guy's name, doesn't know anything about him except his whistling. And earlier in the comic, there have been panels of Echo going by a Pilti who is whistling. So Echo rewinds again, and this time, instead of going to Ajuna, goes after the Pilti. And it kind of comes out that Ajuna had just tried to lift something off of him. The Pilti had a little hand revolver and shot the kid. Because that's... Yeah.
Yeah, that's something you do.
And so Echo starts, attacks him. And in the scuffle, his Z drive, his rewind device, gets shot and broken. And so, you guys can tell me your reading of this. My interpretation of this is that because it's broken, I don't know if it's like actively going to rewind or if he's making the decision to rewind, but he will not have the chance to do it again. That this is the last rewind he's going to have.
I kind of got the sense that, like, wherever he set his anchor point at, when it got shot, it erased the anchor point, so he couldn't go back there again. That was kind of the feeling I got.
Well, see, now, I guess my interpretation is a little different, because the way the comic shows it is that they've got two kind of sequences going on, where one where he's beating up, I assume to death, this guy who had shot Ajuna, and then it shows Ajuna alone kind of falling, collapsing to the ground. And then the next panel goes back to that same image that we started the comic on with Echo running. So my reading of that is that there was like the last rewind, right? Like that it's a little hard to tell. It's the one thing that's a little hard to discern from it. Because the way the comic ends is that as Echo does go to Ajuna. And so I kind of read it as like him having the decision of with this last rewind, go after this person who had killed him, or I can go to him so he's not alone in his last moments. And Echo decides to go to Ajuna, kind of comforts him as he's dying, and then starts fixing the Z drive. And that's the end of the comic, really.
Yeah. Another face added to the wall.
Yeah. And now we've hit rock bottom in terms of being depressed.
Right? Jesus. And what other pieces of lore does he have other people on the wall? Where is that mentioned?
In the second cinematic.
I've seen seconds.
Remember that wall right at the very end that gets shattered?
Yeah. It's
just like a whole wall full of faces.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering if there were other stories that mentioned specific friends or people.
I don't think
there. Okay.
We know specific others that ended up on the wall. But yeah, we know that he added Ajuna there after Ajuna died, because Ajuna's picture wasn't there in the beginning of the comic.
Yeah.
And it is there in seconds.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Real bummer. Real downer.
Real fuck. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I thought it's pretty effective, though. I mean, the fact that it starts out with a rewind, and you kind of get that, okay, you get a sense, it kind of easily kind of brings you into what's happening, and the fact that it kind of is like the low point of the burden of time travel, where 94 rewinds, I counted them out through the comic, because it'll kind of skip ahead some, 94 times having to know that his friend is gonna die and there's no way to save him,
running that whole time.
Yeah, he mentioned like specifically physical. Like what was it, like 4 minutes and change it took him to get there, and that was like his fastest. Yeah. And that was sprinting like over rooftops and shit like that 94 times, 4 minutes just sprinting. Jesus Christ, this kid's in shape.
This kid should join some kind of track team. That'll get him some money. Is there some kind of Olympics?
Right?
Maybe that's his route out.
Yeah.
He'll fix some kind of games. So, did we have any thoughts on this other than it being a bummer? I mean, it really highlights where Echo's priorities are, which is, I feel like we would have known that regardless, but
yeah.
Yeah.
It's good. It was another kind of, another bit of story that shows us the price that Echo pays for this gift that he has.
Yes, and staying in Zaun.
Yeah.
When he could leave, he could probably get out.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I definitely agree. And I think I liked that, you know, again, talking about him as a perfectionist, it was nice to see him pushed up against something that is not fixable. It's not something that, you know, is able to be solved ultimately, right? He tries to get to the best solution, but the best solution, you know, and the way the ending line kind of captures it when it talks about, like, you know, there's no way to fix these things except with time. And even then, you know, they're not really the same.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I don't know. I'll be curious to see where Echo kind of goes after. Maybe he's had experiences like this before. It's hard to say, but it felt like a nice kind of conclusion from the high point of the bio, like I said, where it's like, oh, they're being all reckless. Ooh, Echo's got time powers and he's a genius, all the way down to just this, where it's just a very depressing, somber moment at the end where he's just quietly fixing the Z drive.
Alone.
It's like he says in alone. His quote, time doesn't heal all wounds.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Do we want to move then on to Seconds, which takes place after this?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
This was, I saw this when it was released. It was kind of a Echo's trailer. It was really hyped and very exciting when it came out, because not a lot of champions get trailers like this, I would say. And this one really highlights the kind of champion he's going to be, which is cool, while telling a story. And I think that's hard to do.
Yeah, it was super good.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was pretty early on the cinematic releases. I know kind of Jinx was kind of the beginning of all of that.
Yeah.
And I think this was shortly on the tails of that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I can dig in a little bit. So this one is basically just an action piece.
Yeah.
This is Echo fighting against one of the Vigenauts that Mike... There, that Mark...
Mike's not here,
that
John.
That Mark talked about earlier. So he is fighting against this giant hulk of a man with all of these hextech augmentations, and the way the fight goes, he'll like figure something out, he'll like cut a wire, and then he'll just get smacked by this giant dude and then turn back time. He'll have the injury still, but he'll try again, and eventually, after trying several times, he finds a way to defeat this guy. And through a lot of injury to himself, it seems like he probably has a broken arm at this point, probably a few broken ribs, but he finally manages to defeat him. But when the guy's, you know, going down,
he has like a mechanical arm that shoots off, I think.
Yeah, and he blasts through that wall that we talked about of all the faces of Echo's kind of lost companions, and he sets back time once again to try again.
And that's where it ends.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, this very much highlights what's important to Echo. It's those mm-hmm. relationships that are kind of key to him. And you get a great sense of the cost that the toll that rewinding takes on him, I think, better than in even the other pieces. You really see, like, oh no, like this fight has broken him, and he's just barely, when he finally manages to win, he just barely scraped out a victory.
Yeah.
And now he's gonna go and do it again because he wants to do it a little better. Yeah, it was a really good piece. Yeah, I think everything in this piece felt good to me. Like, it had rock and music. I loved the soundtrack of this. I loved the animation. It was so clean. Like, Echo's face is super expressive in this animation. I think, looking back at a lot of the animations, I think Echo's face is probably one of the most expressive we see in like most of our animations. It's great.
Yeah, it's an important it's a really, really important aspect to the storytelling of it, especially when the fist destroys that wall. You need that like expression from Echo to really see like how devastating that is to see him crumble. This really, it did a good job in telling you a lot about Echo while still being vague, obviously, but like before I knew, you know, who that kid was, you could see this is a recent memorial, this is someone important to him, that he's lost, there's candles lit, so it's probably a recent death. And yeah, to like express all of that in an action piece, I think is really hard.
Yeah. And the voiceover was really good. They don't say a lot, but like what they do say is just very heavy with meaning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember, like, this is going to be a paraphrase because I didn't write down the actual quote, but people are always talking about like, oh, they need an extra day, extra year. Well, all I need is a few extra seconds. And then, God, I forget the end bit, but the end bit was really good too.
Yeah.
But
here's the thing about time.
Oh, yeah.
You can't make the most of any given moment. Shit. You don't deserve another second or something like that.
Yeah, nice. That was it. I like you. Nailed it. You're like doing the high noon echo. That existed. All that said, I fucking hate Echo's ult. Please take that. I really genuinely, it tilts me every time I see that motherfucker ult and all the damage I just did is erased. Fuck you, Echo.
Now you know how that Vigil knot felt. Feels fucking bad.
Except he was unaware of what was happening.
That's true.
Also, just another thing I liked about the cinematic is like, I feel like this is one of those things that separates like really good cinematics from just like pretty good cinematics, is like the cinematography in the cinematic was very good.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of very good angles, and they really play around with what you can do in animation. Mm-hmm. Like they could just like show a standard fight scene and it would have been cool as hell, but they're like nah, we can do fucking better than that.
That one shot that's like vertically up, like up into the sky, is a fun one. I like the kind of long shot when it gets smacked back to really kind of emphasize the distance of the hit that he took, like where it's you're right, they do play around with like where the perspective, I guess, is, or where the camera, quote unquote, is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's something they do really well in a lot of their music videos too, that I like a lot, and it's good to see it in these types of cinematics too.
Sure.
Yeah, well, maybe let's jump to some of them. They're a little bit more cheerful than, because they're alternate universes where Echo is a famous pop star. Or rapper, rather.
Yeah. All right. So let's hop to Giants, then.
I fucking love Giants.
Okay. So Giants is the music video, but the kind of universe that Giants is set in is like True Damage, which, I mean, for the record, is the same universe as KDA. It's all kind of a united universe. But after the worldwide success of KDA, Akali made it her mission to recruit accomplished and up-and-coming artists to form a new supergroup, True Damage. Never before has a crew been comprised of such diverse talent, ranging from natural lyricists to renowned producers to legendary vocalists, all ready to disrupt the music industry. Now, Echo's kind of blurb from this kind of universe: a boy genius from the rough streets, Echo turned to music as a way to express himself. His prodigious lyricism and technological savvy could have bought him a way out, but instead he chose to stay and uplift his neighborhood. Now he fiercely resists the temptations of fame and glory, garnering a following among the young and hopeful who see him as an avatar for their own potential.
So they're kind of pulling a little bit even of that, the canon, I don't know what you say, prime Echo lore.
Exactly.
Into, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of a real world version of the... the prime lore. So the music video associated with this is called Giants. It's the whole True Damage group, and it's just a super cool music video if you haven't seen it. If you look super closely at 13 seconds, you will see Echo. And then you'll also see him throughout the music video. He's a featured artist.
He's not just a sticker on a wall. He's actually... And he talks. I'm like, is this the one where Yasuo is just like there?
He's not just there. Yeah. He's the producer.
Oh, true.
A legendary producer and also their DJ.
What? Who makes a video, like a music video with their producer in it?
The producer does.
Okay.
The
producer. Fair.
I need to be in this video.
I just remember, if you ever go to the comments on YouTube, everyone's just trolling the fact that Yasuo is just like has no lines or anything. He's just in the music video.
But he does T-pose, and that's what's important.
It's a great song. I like that one. I'd like more True Damage songs.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Here's an actual fun fact, though, about Echo in the music video. There's a breakdown section in the music video where kind of the whole, it goes to like halftime, the whole beat changes. Mm-hmm. And right at the end of it, there's kind of a section that ties it back to the main hook of the song, basically. And to do that, there's like a vocal bit from Senna, and they kind of rewind the music video in a really quick clip. If you slow down the music video during that part, you'll actually see kind of a time echo version of Echo in all of those scenes that are being rewinded, just kind of zipping back and forth super super quick.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, little neat fun fact.
Yeah, the artist performed this too in the opening ceremony of Worlds, right?
Yeah, 2019.
Really great. I love it.
It is very good.
Super fucking cool.
And if you're interested in it, there's actually a short documentary about how they did it, because if you haven't seen it, like they really pushed kind of hologram technology mm-hmm. to kind of a new level that
yes but
nobody was really doing,
but to not bring back some dead artists without their permission.
Exactly.
For actual cool reasons.
Like, it was very cool. But there's a documentary called 10 Months, 10 Minutes, which kind of has full behind the scene looks at the whole making of the 2019 World Ceremony.
Oh shit.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. It's about, I think, like 20 minutes.
I've heard of that. I've not watched it, but I was interested in checking that out. They do a bunch of different, not to sidetrack, but I think that whole documentary series, isn't it about a bunch of different like big events, like not just Worlds, but just all sorts of random things that are just really big events with tons of planning?
Yeah, they have. So this one specifically is for that, but they do release a bunch of mini documentaries kind of like this, especially for their music. I think they have I forget the name of it now, but they have a specific name for all of their music documentaries, but they have like five or six of them now. I want to say it's something along the lines of like tones, but not tones, kind of another word for
it's okay, don't worry about it.
It's gonna really bother me now. Another interesting fact about Echo in the True Damage universe is, or at least in Giants, is there are two separate musicians who voice Echo in the music video, Duckworth and Thutmose. One does the opening and then one does the breakdown section.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting because he, Thutmose
frequencies,
does the VO for the...
Jesus Christ. Yeah, that was definitely worth interrupting Mark for.
I was going to forget it. I'm sorry.
Anyway.
No, it's all good. I'm glad you remembered it. I was just going to mention that, Thutmose, I think, does all the VO for the True Damage skin specifically.
Oh, okay.
So. Yeah, I was looking. It's all unique VO. It's pretty interesting.
I didn't realize that because I've never played Echo. Probably why I can't figure out how he works.
Yeah, so that is the Giant cinematic. Now, he is part of several other cinematics. We'll talk about a few that were actually on the Universe page. So starting with The Climb, which was the season 2018 cinematic.
Yes, we talked about this a little bit because Blitzcrank is in it.
Yeah, Blitz is in it. Mm. Fighting with Echo.
Yeah.
Or like on Echo's side. Yeah.
They would get along.
They would get along. I mean, they're both Zonites.
Yeah, and like Blitz is trying to help people.
Yeah, he's not like one of the bad Zonites.
Yeah.
this is just kind of a series of short combat vignettes. It follows a quick fight that Yasuo has, and then Talia, and this quick fight with Blitz and Echo. It's got Misfortune, kind of.
Yeah.
And then Lucian and Thresh at the end. But the Echo bit I found particularly interesting because it has a lot of interesting applications of his time warping powers that we don't necessarily see in game.
Yeah.
But one aspect that I did like was that it also touches on kind of how temperamental, I guess, a lot of his technology is, kind of tinkering at it at his home as this super cool time traveling device he's invented just kind of stops working in the middle of the fight and he just kind of falls.
Yeah.
He's doing his best.
You know, that was a line I meant to mention for the lullaby story is when he's using his cue. It talks about like, oh, it exploded. And unlike most of his inventions that explode, because it's like, oh yeah, everything he makes just fucking breaks or explodes.
But now that he's got a way to turn back time, that's probably helped him a lot as an inventor too. You can just stop those explosions, be like, oh, that wasn't right. which leads us into a little bit the True Genius cinematic. This was a Legend of Runeterra cinematic that they had released. Basically, just the quick synopsis of this is Heimerdinger is going to announce a new power source that he's invented. He goes to unveil it to his apprentice and finds that it's been stolen.
Oh no.
Who could have done this? We know who, because there's a characteristic Jinx grenade on the pedestal where the power supply used to be. And then we see Jinx, or his apprentice is like, I'll go get it back, and, you know, goes to find Jinx. Jinx is using the power supply to create a new gun to play around with, but it doesn't work exactly like she expected it to, and the power source kind of explodes off the back of the gun and falls into Zaun, specifically the north side trash heap, where Echo is busy scavenging for parts. He sees it fall down and he looks at it and is like, huh, I know how I could use this. And attaches it to kind of a skateboard, hoverboard type deal and just kind of goes zipping through Zaun, seeing how fast he can push it until he loses control and it flies up back into Piltover. And we see Heimerdinger and his apprentice, and they're kind of lamenting that they lost the power supply. Like, oh man, what a bummer. And then the skateboard just flies right to where they are and the power supply is there. And Heimerdinger kind of looks at it and is like, huh. Well, this is a great contraption. I wonder if we could just... And they tinker a little bit, and then the next day at the unveiling ceremony, they have altered Echo's skateboard to be an actual flying hoverboard. Which, if you play Legends of Runeterra, you'll see featured in the Amateur Aeronaut card.
I don't play Legends of Runeterra. I'm sorry.
Sure, that's fine.
This is what I was talking about, though, where, like, I really like the glimpses that this gives into each of the characters. It kind of shows what, given the same exact piece of technology, what would different characters here do with it? Jinx obviously immediately tries to find a way to turn it into a weapon. Echo's just here for the fucking vibes, man. He's just, he's just having fun.
He's being a 15-year-old.
Yeah. And Heimerdinger, while a genius, also recognizes someone else's great design when he sees it and is just trying, like, oh, I bet I could find a way to make this even cooler. And tells us a little bit about all the characters involved. Not too proud to admit when someone has taken his design and made it a little more, a little better.
Yeah, I fucking love Heimerdinger.
Yeah, he upgrades it, much like his ultimate.
Ah,
it's gone mad!
So, okay, is the ending shot of this supposed to be a direct reference to the end of Harry Potter 4, that movie? I think that's the one, right? Is it that or Prisoner of Azkaban?
When he does the freeze frame?
Where the movie...
Is it the hippogriff one?
No. The freeze frame when he's riding on the fireball at the end, and it freeze frames as he's yelling, and it's the worst thing in the world.
Because this one ends the exact same way, and there's a weird, like, 2-3 second pause that's just really awkward. Is that what it's in reference to?
I did not pick up on that, but well, now I really hope it is.
I really need to know. That's great.
We'll do a side-by-side. Since we're talking about Legends of Runeterra, Ajuna has a card as well.
Aww. Oh, nice. Is it really depressing?
It is, because... So it's called the Sun... the name of the card is the Sun Knight Scavenger. And the card art shows him fixing up a bunch of injured... like animals, like putting like putting like Kentech wheelchairs on dogs and like putting wings on birds.
I didn't even know really this pathetic. About him. Pathetic. Oh, fuck. All right, what else? What else we got for Echo?
So we have a non-featured one just called A New Journey, and we talked about this one a little bit with Ari, but this one is inspired by the true story of Michelle, a university student and League of Legends player who joined a team and joined the fight. Yeah, it's this is kind of like, it looks like an anime opening. Honestly, it's got like an anime opening song to go along with it, and it's just an animated video. And Echo is one of the people her team fights against. Then we've got Breakout, which is the... So this is the cinematic reveal for the True Damage skins. It's not kind of like an in-game style thing, though. It's actually kind of like a pretty cool animated reveal video. It's pretty neat, though. Everyone gets a cool moment there. Then the last two, we have the Systems Online, which is another skin reveal for a Pulsefire Echo. Yeah, he got his Pulsefire skin the same time as a bunch of other, so they, we get the reveals for a bunch of them. I think it was like Fiora was the same time as him, and I want to say Lucian too.
Sure, it's okay.
I could say anything.
You could literally
say
anyone. I didn't know if Fiora had a Pulsefire skin. Caitlyn has one.
Yeah, she was earlier.
Yeah.
And then the last thing is LOL School, which we also talked about with Darius and Ari. This is the Russian animated film that was the reveal for the Academy skin line.
Yes, because of course Echo is a part of that universe.
Yes, a featured part, not just one of the backup characters. The main, I would say, initial release for that was Darius, Echo, Ari, Vlad, and Fiora. Those were the five main Academy skins to start. Some of the AUs, we'll start with the Pulsefire one just because there's actually a short story to go along with it that Echo is featured pretty heavily in.
Oh my god, okay. They put so much effort into shit that no one would ever be able to find without digging. And a very small percentage of League players are going to dig.
Yeah, and this was a long story, too. It's pretty good. It's Pulsefire Ezreal. It follows Pulsefire Ezreal kind of going through a bunch of stuff. But at the point that our boy Echo joins the story, Pulsefire Ezreal is basically being hunted by Time Enforcers, who are upset at him for creating so many temporal anomalies because he's just jumping through time all willy-nilly. They confront him. His time travel gear gets damaged. It takes kind of a direct shot. And so he has enough juice for one jump left after a little bit of help. So he goes to Echo because he knows Echo's very good at this type of thing. Echo can't really help because, like we mentioned, the most important part of a suit is like the crystal core, and that's the part that took a point blank blaster shot. So Ezreal instead convinces Echo to use his chrono break to send him one last place so he can steal another crystal core from a sucker, as he said it. The sucker ends up being Ezreal himself when he was younger.
I'm really excited to get to Ezreal now, dude.
That's fucking great.
Yeah, so he's hoping he can steal the crystal and then travel through time and find another one and then travel back to that point in time to replace the crystal before he rips what he describes as a universe-ending anomaly. For the record, this is why the Chrono Police are after him, because he pulls shit like this all the time. this was interesting too. So one of the interesting things is that the Chrono Police are kind of hunting Ezreal because he's just causing anomalies all over the place. Echo in his experimentation has found a way to create pockets of time travel which don't create anomalies. He's kind of found a way to crack time travel in a way that is kind of safe. And another interesting thing about his powers in this universe is he found a way to chrono break people other than himself. He does specifically mention, like, it's not meant to do this, buddy. I can't really do this anymore. But he is able to time travel Ezreal back to a point that Ezreal wanted to go to without even going himself. So
Neat.
Interesting new power that he has there.
Yeah, that is fun. I think I'm more into the AUs when they kind of play around with the powers and stuff in that way. I think I could get more into it.
Yeah, I get you.
Yeah, and so this isn't necessarily part of the story itself, but because he has a pulse fire skin, I'll just kind of delve a little bit about the pulse fire AU that it's a part of. So I know we talked about this a little bit with Caitlin, I think, but just to talk a little bit more, this is the blurb for, or the, I guess the, this is what the Pulse Fire universe is. So after unlocking the secrets of time travel, the champions that are part of this are thrust into a far-flung dystopian future. While Chrono Enforcers relentlessly pursue them across time and space, a small few have escaped into history, taking their technology along for the ride. Frequent use of time travel, however, has caused tears in the fabric of space-time through which Praetorians, which are hordes of faceless robotic marauders which appear across the multiverse, destroying everything in their path, pour through. Now, the Pulsefire AU is separated into a few different types of champions. You've got the Remembrancers, which are the Chrono Enforcers. That includes Caitlin, Lucian, Pantheon, Fiora, and Thresh, which, for the record, I think makes the first AU where Thresh and Lucian are on the same side.
Oh, neat.
Neat.
Yeah. In this universe, Senna, unfortunately, is still dead, or has been killed, but she was killed by a Praetorian and not Thresh.
Huh.
Which kind of explains why Lucian is also so gung-ho about hunting Ezreal, since his antics are causing a bunch of holes where the Praetorians pour through.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
And Chrono Fugitives are another faction. These include Ezreal, obviously, Echo, and Twisted Fate. Now, they're the ones that are just hunted by Chrono Enforcers for creating paradoxes and anomalies. You also have Chrono Users, which include Riven and Shen. And honestly, reading through their blurbs, I couldn't necessarily tell exactly how they fit into everything. It seems like Shen is just timeless in this AU. He's just like a conquering warlord who just doesn't age. And Riven is just really digs temporal balance and is against anyone who tries to shift time to their own beings. But she's not technically a Chrono Enforcer, so they just are, they're anomalies in and of themselves in this AU. And then you have the Praetorians, who Fiddlesticks and Graves both have skins for that in this AU.
I forgot about those two skins. Okay. It's all coming together now.
What's that Fiddlesticks one? What's it called?
I think it might just...
It might just be... I know Praetorian Graves is the name of Graves' one.
Yeah, it might just be Praetorian Fiddlesticks.
Yeah. I completely forgot about those. I thought it was just something that only existed in the context of the story. But no, interesting.
Yeah, that's part of the Pulsefire AU. And we talked a little bit about the Academy AU. So the little lore blurb for Academy Echo. And like we mentioned with Darius, these are all kind of told through the... through the lens of a dean disciplinary note for the students. Notice from the dean: Echo is henceforth suspended from academy grounds for behavior including, but not limited to, illegal use of chemistry equipment, illegal use of academy electronics, splitting time streams in order to skip class, and vandalism of athletic department property.
What athletic stuff was he vandalizing? Is that like a reference to something in the skin? Or
I feel like it was all just kind of like, here are two normal things. Oh, and also he splits time streams. Oh, and here's a third normal thing.
I follow.
Also, since I forgot to read it, his blurb for the Pulsefire Echo skin is, a time fugitive who built his Pulsefire suit from scratch, Echo improved on the Remembrancer's technologies, crafting a modified chronobreak device that allows him to make short temporal jumps, create time breaks within a singular timeline, and to collapse them all into a single anomaly-free singularity.
Oh, well, thank God. I was wondering.
Yeah, he actually, so he, much like the crystal that he uses in Prime Lore, he just kind of stole a suit from a Remembrancer and just tinkered with it. It's like, oh, I can do better than this. Next AU is the Harrowing AU. This is a series of alternate universe skins set around the haunted festivities of Runeterra's harrowing and kind of based on real world Halloween. So all the champion skins were inspired by these regional or festive cultures. Harrowing actually encompasses three sub-themes, including trick-or-treat, death-sworn, and zombies versus slayers.
I don't know if I've seen the slayer skins.
That has the, Jinx. Like, yeah,
oh, Jinx,
slayer
zombie,
Jinx,
slayer. Okay, and then zombie, yeah, right, Nunu. And zombie, yeah, okay.
And zombie brand, I think they retroactively added to that one, even yeah, though it was separate to begin
first.
With.
I love the harrowing skins. They're always some of my favorites.
Mm-hmm. And this one is trick-or-treat Echo. So, his little lore blurb for that. Perhaps in hindsight, looping time to get an infinite number of fun-sized chocolate bars wasn't worth shattering the fabric of reality for.
I disagree.
Hard
Echo.
Disagree, Echo. Yeah. Echo also has a world championship skin honoring Duke's winning performance as Echo during the 2016 World Championship, which I wouldn't normally include. I just thought it was neat because this is one of 17 skins that SKT has won or has gotten made for them over the years for winning so many championships.
Yeah.
Good God.
That's wild.
That is fucking crazy. God, that's nuts. 17. God,
17.
It was a lot, but Jesus.
Too good.
Yeah. I don't think I own any of them. They're not my favorites, like the world's skins. I get why they do them. They're dope. Yeah. But
some of them are very good.
Yeah.
And some, like, I fucking love the Imp Twitch skin. So good.
Oh, yeah. Oh. That one's pretty good.
Yeah,
it's
that
like
one's
the little rat
glasses.
With the glasses and yeah, oh,
the
so
little
good.
Rat with the glasses. I was at Twitch.
I mean, he doesn't normally have glasses.
No, I know.
He's got goggles. Next up, we've got the Project AU. So Project is the perfect fusion of one's supernatural essence with advanced weaponry and body augmentation. This linking of technology and energy allows extraordinary hosts to channel their essence into physical manifestations and, in rare cases, transcend the corporeal plane. Only subjects possessing extremely focused inner essence and exceptional physical attributes can unlock the true power of Project. Among the megastructures and packed streets of a future controlled by global corporations, a shadow war rages between rebellious augmented humans and newly empowered artificial beings. The winners will shape the course of history, and the losers will be forced to evolve.
And your voice got deeper the more you read that.
It sounded more like a movie trailer the
yeah,
more I read.
Really did.
So Project Echo's part of this one. We talked a little bit about this with Ash, who is the leader of the genetic rebellion, who kind of started as Project and then fought against Project. So Project Echo is a hacker prodigy picked up from the lower sectors by Ash. Didn't take much to convince Echo to help her take down Project. Using a powerful key decryptor and a mind tuned for disruption, Echo can always find a way into the code.
I'm getting like a 90, like a hacker's like vibe.
I'm in.
Hack the world, man. That'd be great if the VO in that skin was like that. That'd be nice.
Right? I would love that. Yeah, I don't think he has any specific quotes for that, unfortunately.
No, I'm sure it's just a filter.
Yeah, those are the AUs. And I think the last thing that I had any notes on was quotes. So if anyone had any other things they wanted to kind of talk about before that.
Not really. I was going to mention the voice actor, which I guess we'll get into with the quotes. I don't know if it is relevant here, but I also know there's the Convergence trailer that got dropped a while back from Riot Forge.
Go on.
Oh, really? Is that? Oh,
I don't know this.
I mean, in the same vein as like how Ruined King is, you know, one of the Riot Forge side games. Convergence, I think, is also going to be another side game project that they put out, starring Echo. And I guess the important thing to catch from it is that the voiceover waffles through that. It's like a minute long little teaser. Waffles between current Echo and a much older voice. So one would assume that we might get to see some future Echo time shenanigans.
Oh,
I have no idea how, but this is literally the first time I'm hearing about this.
Yeah.
Live reaction from John on. yeah, it's Convergence is the, I think, is the title that they're going with. And it's got the same subtitle, like a League of Legends story that they did with like Ruin King. So who knows? I don't know if there's even a release date. So
We keep saying that we're gonna have to have like revisit episodes, but we haven't gotten there yet. That hasn't happened yet, but I imagine it will one day.
Yeah. And also, you know, upon reflection, doing the champions in alphabetical order instead of by release date, probably not the best scalable since new ones are getting released all the time. But you know what? Nah. We'll fucking cross that bridge when we get to it, I guess.
Yeah, we still haven't hit it yet.
We Gwen hit Gwen close.
That's true.
Gwen close.
I was wondering. We have a very young audience, but I hopefully they know who Gwen Close is. That's good. I want a Glenn Close Glenn skin now. Also, fuck Glenn.
We basically have.
Did I call her Glenn Close?
Glenn Close.
Jesus, I'm done.
We
I need
basically
to go to
have one already, though, with the Wicked LeBlanc.
No,
that's clearly her from clearly her from 101 Dalmatians.
You're fucking right. That's great. You learned there was a Convergence trailer, and I learned there's a Glenn Close skin, so everyone's learning shit today.
Fuck. All right. We've really gone off the rails, so...
A little bit, but...
Give me those quotes.
Here are some fun quotes that I like from Echo. He's got a few champion-specific ones. For the record, I like so many Echo quotes. I could not pull all of them, but just reading through his quotes, I love so many of them. But we were talking the other week about his interaction with Mundo, and he does have a Mundo-specific quote where he just says, "Go where you want, Mundo. Outside of Zaun." They're not on good terms, apparently. He did not appreciate his doctoring at the hands of Mundo. He's got one with Garen. He has two with Garen, actually. One of them, he says, "Hey, Garen, shouted any good names lately?" And then he's got another one where he just says, "Zaun!" You know, like Garen says to Masya.
I like how they have, specific things like this, and it makes sense for the, for the context of the game. But, in the lore, how the hell would Echo know who Garen is?
I mean, he's probably, he's a big name for himself. Maybe they get news there probably. Over the Hextech Telly.
The Hextech
Telly.
Also, this, it's not necessarily this quote that's interesting as much as a bit of what I'm now considering canon information about Echo. He's got a quote to Twitch that says, "I lost a pet rat once. Is that you, Mr. Tails?" So, confirmed, Echo had a pet rat named Mr. Tails.
I also like the idea that this is Mr. Tails. Something has gone awry.
Right? We haven't gotten to Twitch's lore yet, but we're going to skip it because we have it right here. It's Mr. Tails.
He got into some weird Zaun goo.
It's going to be straight up Ninja Turtles 2 bullshit. He's got a quote for Vel'Koz. "I'll poke your eye out." And head out? Face off? How do you even work?
Geometry Tentacle Boy. That's how he works.
Geometry Tentacle Boy. He's got a few angry quotes towards Vi.
Of course.
"Hey, sellout. You forgot your roots, Vi. You used to be cool." Which, for the record, is also the quote he says if you ban him in-game. "You used to be cool."
I don't think I've ever banned Echo, shockingly. Now I want to, just to hear that.
He was also from the era where everyone obviously gets a ton of unique quotes depending on what items they buy. The one that I like specifically was the Hextech Gunblade. "Put a gun on a sword. Typical Piltover brilliance."
I like, my favorite Echo quote is when you do, what is it, his dance? And he goes, "Wow, wow, wow."
He just plays the air guitar.
Yeah. Yeah, our friend Mike plays Echo and spams that every time he plays it.
And then I just have four quotes here that are just kind of Echo vibes. Just
sure.
Like, I fucking love them.
Yeah.
Things aren't going to improve themselves. Doubt me. I love that.
Oh, shit.
Progress doesn't belong to one city. I'd rather make mistakes than make nothing at all.
You made him sound so serious. I mean, I know he's got a pretty serious backstory, but he's still a teenager.
Yeah, you know, it's wow, wow, wow.
All right, this has gone
on my echo quotes
forever. Does anyone have any final echo thoughts? I hope we get a bit more. I would like progress on his story.
I would love more. I will say I'm happy with what I have, too.
Yeah.
I only want more because I like what we have so much. This is like the exact opposite of Diana for me.
Yes. I want a continuation. Mm. It's not like I want more backstory. I want more going forward, which I know it's hard for Echo, yeah. But...
Which apparently we're going to get in Convergence if he's old.
Well, maybe. I mean, the whole timeline thing is a lot of fun. It seems fun that they're going to play with that some. Real quick, the voice actor is Anthony Del Rio, just to throw that credit out there. Mm. And yeah, that was the one big thing that I also have in my notes for wanting is just to see where he goes next. And
yeah.
I think him leaving Zaun would be a pretty pivotal thing. So I'm curious what would have to happen to take him out of there. Like, maybe he goes looking for Zillion as like a... That's the apprenticeship that he ends up applying for, you know? They've got... similar interests, but something would have to happen with the parents, and I would be a little reticent to see him get orphaned, so I'd be curious to see how they would handle that.
I think it one thing that might make him leave Zaun is if it was something that could potentially help him help Zaun when he goes back later. He would leave with the intention of coming back with something that would help him, you know, raise Zaun up. So
yeah.
Man, I feel like he's such, in my mind now, such a pivotal part of Zaun and, like, specifically, like, children in Zaun almost, that I feel like if he's not an Arcane, I'm just going to be so disappointed, but I feel like he's not, I mean, I feel like he's not going to be featured because he wasn't featured in any of the trailers, but man, I just it'll be so weird without him now.
Yeah, well, I think it's interesting because I know he's got a quote with Jinx where he says he used to have a crush on her.
I was curious how Echo felt about
before
Jinx.
She started talking to her gun
before, yeah. So I guess it's a question of, like, I guess I don't quite know how old Jinx is versus how old Echo is, if they would have been young kids around the same time, or if they would have met each other much later, like as they are now.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Hopefully we'll find out.
Yeah.
I would love that story. Yeah.
That would be interesting. All right. Well, that is Echo. Thank you so much for listening. We have a Twitter now.
Woo.
Woo. The handle is @loreheads because @leagueofloreheads was too long. It wouldn't let me do that. So just... @loreheads. I was hoping it would be a good place for people to, if they want to further the discussion on the champion we're talking about, ask questions, yell at us for what we got wrong. I'll be posting the episodes there as well, if you want to have discussions there. Yeah.
And I know we have, if you weren't aware, we also cross-post all of these onto YouTube.
Yes.
I know we have some discussions there as well, so
yes. Not as many people listen on YouTube, but they jump down on the comments sometimes and talk, and we'll always respond to comments. That's just League of Loreheads on YouTube, the same. So yeah, those are things that exist. and join us next week because we are finally going to the Shadow Isles for the first time.
Hey.
Yay! I'm really excited because I know nothing about the Shadow Isles, and we get to talk about the Spider Queen Elise.